it's really, it's not because I was the keynote that everybody left early. I'm sure it was someone else's presentation, maybe. Anyway, thank you for letting me talk to you about Kansas City Sportport and what we're doing here in Kansas City. And I love the focus on freight and some of the MoDOT and Mark and KDOT guys will tell you. I mean, we've had that increase in importance of freight here in the region and a lot of discussion in all facets about the economic development point of view to the infrastructure improvements and whatnot. Let me tell you what Sportport's role in all that is. We are a not-for-profit. We were officially set up back in 2000. We came out of a study that MoDOT, KDOT, MARC, and some other groups locally put together to focus on freight. What was happening in this market? This was in the mid-90s, and the real focus was two. We are a transportation logistics hub. How do we grow it? And back then, NAFTA was just getting started, so there was a focus specifically on our position, our place, our opportunity with NAFTA. That study was called the Midway Tradeway Study. But there was a couple studies before that and after that as well that really looked at what the importance of freight is here. I only talked about that study because it led to Sportport being formed, but if you want to know about the other studies, we can tell you about those as well. But the study said you should have and you should focus on this area being an inland trade processing center, and there needs to be an entity that really drives that as opposed to some of the sponsors that led that to be formed. So we were incorporated as a not-for-profit in 2000. Our three primary founding members were the Mid-America Regional Council with Darrell in the back, the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce, and our Kansas City Area Economic Development Group, the Regional Economic Development Group. We, of course, had MoDOT and KDOT partnership from the beginning, but the focus is very, very directed at freight. Two specific missions: grow the transportation logistics industry in the region, bring more freight in and out, and secondly, make sure the industry here is competitive as possible. We kind of break that into make sure the freight that comes and goes into the region does so efficiently, cheaper, faster, more secure, and again, positioning this market for more freight. I'm funded by a group of investors. Right now it's just under 60 investors. About 80% of that is private sector. So the trucking companies, the railroads, the 3PLs, the industrial real estate divisions, technology service providers, companies, organizations that are interested in freight. On the public sector side, it's both KDOT and MoDOT. It's aviation departments, it's port authorities, again, it's entities that are interested in transportation and freight. It's an annual investment, not a tax write-off. They're investing because they see benefit to the region, to their companies. And knock on wood, even in today's economy, we've grown the investor base every year. This year's a little bit challenging because we're losing as we're gaining. So I think one or two investors ahead right now, so it's a little bit of a horse race, but we're continuing to grow the investor base. On the economic development side, or the growing the market, I spend about 50-60% of my time on a given day focused on economic development, attracting what we call freight-based projects to this region. And you'll hear me say region and Kansas City and the like. For us, it's a 90-mile radius of where you sit today. It's both Kansas and Missouri, 18 counties, 50 communities, both states. That's our footprint. We're known as America's Inland Port Solution, but it's a virtual inland port. It's not this 500-acre development that's happening here or there. It's the whole region. So our job is to attract freight-based projects, distribution centers, warehouse, manufacturing. He kind of made some comments about what Indiana is doing and other things. We are very aggressive on this industry, this freight market here. The region, the state, the counties, the communities, the partners realize this is a targeted industry for us. It always has been a targeted industry for us. And there's a focus on growing that market here. And I'll tell you, about the last 2 years, we've completely turned the industrial real estate market upside down in this market. We used to have 150, 200, 250,000 square foot project. That was a big deal in Kansas City, a 250,000 square foot distribution center company. Granted, every now and then we got the big one, 500, or we've got a couple Walmart DCs in the market that were close to 1 million square feet, but they were far and few between. Well, the last 2 years, we are regularly landing 500, 700, 800. The latest one was Colden. For those of you in the Kansas City market, it's out in Gardner, 1.1 million square foot facility for the Colden Company. Most importantly, that announced it is under construction December of 08, where other markets around the country weren't doing anything as the year ended and the new year was coming because capital markets and everything was cutting costs. We landed that deal and it's under construction. It's coming out of the ground. So we're seeing these bigger deals come to the market, and that continues to happen. With some of the cities I normally pick on in my presentations, I won't do that today. But other markets are having their own challenges, whether it's congestion or labor or an aggressive development community that came in and overbuilt their market and other things. We're still sitting pretty good because we're a very, very conservative market. We don't build spec buildings, for example, here in this market. First one was built last year, 600,000 square foot spec building. We don't do that in Kansas City, not like Dallas and India and Chicago and other markets that historically Memphis has built spec buildings. That didn't happen here, but it's happening now. Slowly, we're not getting a rush of developers coming in to build a bunch of boxes. They're slowly looking at it. There's industrial development parks that are coming online with spec buildings planned. So again, we're conservative, yet we're getting a lot of build-to-suit opportunities for the companies that are coming in, picking a site, picking the developer and building their building, as opposed to coming in and looking at one or two buildings they can possibly do. So that side of our focus on economic development is doing very, very well. We're winning deals. You put on top of that the fact that we're one of the only cities in the country that has three intermodal logistics parks being built at the same time, brand new ones. The BNSF project that I'm sure John commented out in Gardner on the Kansas side is about roughly 1,100 acres of development. 350, 400 acres of that will be the BNSF intermodal facility. The remaining land will be a logistics park built to support that intermodal. That project is delayed a little bit, as all rail in the supply chain industry is down a little bit. They're slowing the development. It has not been canceled. It has not been put on hold. They're just slowly building into it, and I would imagine, this is Chris talking, you're going to see that start to move very quickly as opposed to a year or 2 years from now. I think you're going to see that start to move forward. But that's one, and they're projecting anywhere from 10 to 12 million square feet of distribution space they'll build on site. Well, off-site, within miles of that, three or four other developers have taken down significant land holdings to do their own development to support that intermodal. So that whole region out of Southwest Chaco County is seeing tremendous industrial growth opportunity with developers coming in, the Coleman Company's new deal is right there. It's going to be a hub of activity in the years to come. On the Missouri side, the Kansas City Southern development is in at the old Richester Bower at the south of Kansas City. It's about a 1,400 acre development. The railroad intermodal is already built and operating. Tremendous amount of freight for the KCS, the smallest class one that's moving on that north-south axis. Schneider is building a terminal there, doing a lot of business between Mexico, Kansas City, in through Indiana, and into Columbus, Ohio. And the Intermodal Logistics Park, CenterPoint, is the developer. They spent over $30 million, again, last year, when everybody else was kind of pausing, to put in all their infrastructure. All the utilities are in, all the roads are in. They joke that all their fire hydrants and the trees and sidewalks, and they are, everything is there. They're ready to go vertical. I mean, they put a lot of money into that to get ready. And in our industry, I always say companies are dumb. By the time they realize they need a distribution center, they need it in 6 months. The key to win a deal is speed to market, having that shovel-ready site like CenterPoint does. If they can put up a million square foot building in 6 months, I mean, it's ready to go. They have their permits, all zoned, everything's ready to go. The third one that everybody forgets about outside our market is our airport. You're all getting ready to fly out of the airport. There's a joke in the past that that airport was home to a bunch of cows because they have 8,000 acres up here with no development that the airport owns. And literally there are cows out there that they lease out to the farmers and ranchers, so to speak. They just signed a contract last year with Trammell Pro Development to develop 800 acres up there. And when you fly out, for those of you that are flying out, you drive up I-29, you're going to see a bunch of dirt being moved. That's a small piece of it. You got to get over the hill to see the real dirt being moved. They're putting all the utilities, all the infrastructures in place. And Trammell Crow's announced a 525,000 square foot special. That probably will start coming out of the ground later this year. 800 acres up there. So three huge projects on the intermodal logistics park side that are happening in Kansas City at the same time. So exciting things on the economic development front. The other mission of Smartport, as I said, is to make the industry competitive. To do that, we've got a number of things going on. We have a technology project called the Trade Data Exchange, or TDE. Most of my money comes from private sector, and their biggest challenge in the supply chain is visibility. Data visibility. Where's my freight? Who's got it? When is it going to arrive? Is it secure? Do I need to reroute it because orders have changed? Has it been delayed or by customs or broken into that I need to reroute freight, another shipment to meet that customer's need? We're all familiar with FedEx and UPS. You type in your 9-digit code and you can see where your shipment to your aunt is going or your grandma. You don't really have that out in the supply chain industry if it's moving on multiple carriers. We selected EDS, actually a company called Black & Veatch Solutions Group 4 or 5 years ago that was acquired by EDS, who's now been acquired by HP, to be our vendor for that project. And we are about 6 months away from standing that up live. It'll be a complete supply chain visibility tool. It gives real-time, password-protected, secure visibility, predictability, profitability, you name it, from the private sector side. It will add value to them and be a tool that provides cost savings and more efficient movement of the freight. The byproduct of that is security. We know everything about that shipment in this system. We can provide that level of security that the federal government and other agencies require, but do it in the terms of the private sector's interest, as opposed to the other way around, where the government interest in security usually means cost, cost, cost. This is going to provide efficiency to the supply chain while still meeting that requirement on the security side. Again, we'll have that project of that technology set up and ready to use it every year, at the same time addressing how we actually deliver it to a customer base. Because Smartport's not a technology company, we're a regional economic development group. We have a regional freight outlet. John talked a little bit about the freight study Kansas is doing. We've got one in partnership with Mark that's looking at the whole region, what freight is coming in, going out of our market by what mode, what's it going to look like in 2017, what's it going to look like in 2027, what does that do to the regional planning efforts in terms of infrastructure needs, what is that doing in the environment, what is it doing in terms of us positioning ourselves to more deals, how do we compare to other cities that are targeting investment for distribution, what are they doing, what's their marketing angle, what's their taglines, what's their cost benefits, and comparing all that so that we can compete to win more deals here. That study will be finished in a couple weeks. April 30th is the deadline for that. We're going to probably add a little bit of tweak to it to really target some specific industries that we think should come to Kansas City. Lastly, from an umbrella standpoint, we are the kind of umbrella for the industry. All the modes, all the associations, all the companies in this region that do freight and transportation, we provide that leadership of what's important, how are we working together to promote this region, what are the new competitive positions that our industry should be aware of. I saw a lady who already left who had my website up when I wasn't talking. I told her I'm going to have to watch what I'm saying because she's going to check the facts, but she's already gone, so I'm going to make it up. But on our website, there's a service provider section. Any company or organization that touches freight is listed there. Great tool locally because you can see who's doing what. Great tool externally because you can see that volume of activity that's happening. There's a calendar of events. Any association, international transportation, logistics that happens in this region is on our website. You can click on it, find out what the seminar is, register right there, even if it's not an event that we're putting on. So it's kind of a collection of all the things that are happening in logistics on our website. We provide that umbrella activity to the region. I can keep talking. I know people got to catch flights. Ernie suggested about 20 minutes. I don't know how much I hit on, but maybe if there's some questions out there, I'd rather kind of answer questions from you guys and keep talking about what we're doing. Anybody? Ernie?
What do you attribute your region's ability to get along with the whole system testing together?
You know, I think I'm trying not to take Smartport to say more of the credit for that, but I think the umbrella nature that we provided to bring people together is really adding value to the industry has been a key. I think our private sector leadership, there are other groups that are formed out of their chamber or or an economic development group or a government entity, you know, we're driven by our private sector, and I had an executive committee meeting this morning, and 4 out of my 5 are private sector people. Has really led, because as some people talk about champions, I mean, when you get a private sector leader, they're in the industry, they know what's beneficial to them or what's happening on the street, so to speak. They've driven the I-70, they know what's out there. I think that's been a key. And I think there's a hunger in this market for growth. I mean, we're not a market that pounds on our chest about how well we do things, but I think there was an interest that other markets were starting to compete better than us. So I think right timing, right place, so to speak. And we've been very focused on adding value, not holding meetings. So. Yes, sir.
See, your industry is a good buffer between the private industry and public and private relationship. You know, if you want to get data, for example, proprietary concern, do you see your group, the ability to find out what quarters in our thing are important without getting into all that, you know, proprietary data and, you know, FOIA, you know, concern that that is. I can tell you that, but it's not my interest to do that.
I mean, we get a lot of incremental or off-the-cuff comments. I mean, none of the railroads are different that share their data of who's freight to move, or they're just freight checking it out. But we do have that insight into what their business is to be able to share with the DOTs and others about where are the corridors, where there's growth. I mean, I'm just talking about the economic development group saying, hey, you know, you're ignoring this part of the city, and that's where all the companies we're talking to want to go.
Right.
Because the labor force is there, and there are other. Your numbers might not justify the improvement in our area, 210 Highway on the Missouri side. It just wasn't getting the attention, but now it's been raised up in the plan because a couple companies are located there, and there's a couple more in the queue that like that site. One owner, great infrastructure connection in terms of 435 being close by, labor forces there. So we can have that dialogue, and TDOT and MoDOT have allowed us to be on a lot of their freight planning committees that will kind of provide that voice. So definitely there's that interaction. And I always love a story of the FBI a couple of years ago wanted to have a seminar or a meeting with all the trucking and rail community to talk about what they're doing related to anti-terrorism. And they tried several times, couldn't get anybody to come to their FBI office here to hear that. We invited them all as our meeting, and the room was standing room only when everybody came there. They all complained afterwards because the FBI got talked the whole time and never let them. Trucking industry, telling what's really happening. It'll never go back. But 2 times of trying to get it, so the question we have is, I don't know what they're doing in this
pack. Can you talk a little bit about the NAFTA and the Gantry Southern Mexican connection and how that's impacted
you? You know, again, the origins back to looking at NAFTA, we've really focused a lot of attention on that. I mean, our interest is freight no matter where it comes from, but on the NAFTA, we sit squarely in the middle of the three countries and have I-35 and the KCS as the rail connection there. Kansas City Southern now completely owns the line all the way to the Port of Los Angeles in Mexico, all the way up to Kansas City and over into St. Louis and others. It's a complete network. They put a lot of money in capital improvements on that, engines, track improvement signs, and intermodal facilities up and down. Roughly 40, as KCS called them, beneficial owners of freight. To Los Angeles in a couple weeks, the Cedar Port, it is open. Hutchison operates it. It's got the capacity of 2 million containers. And it's national and global players that are along that line, so it is functioning very well. They're moving a lot of freight into Laredo, Dallas, and then over into the Atlanta market on the Norfolk Southern relationship they have with the Meridian Speedway. So it is functioning. It is moving. It's not a plan. They're moving a lot of freight cross-border, both directions. And we have a project with the Mexican Customs Facility that you may or may not have heard of. Still live, where we work with both U.S. and Mexico to locate a facility here that would allow U.S. exports going to Mexico to clear customs. Same process at the border, same no changing of the laws, except it would be done here, and we'd secure that freight going from Mexico truck only initially. That's been a ping pong match. We've gotten very close. The Mexican president actually said publicly in Mexico, I'm going to go to Kansas City to open this. There's been great momentum, and in all of his wisdom, the Commissioner of U.S. Customs, Rob Bonner, retired. We now hired him as our consultant, but when he retired, the project fell apart in the U.S. We got it back at the speed on the other side, and there's an election in Mexico. We have Mexico back up a little bit, and as you may or may not know, there is a U.S. Commissioner of Customs right now that hasn't been appointed yet, so we're kind of down here. So it's dormant, it's still alive, it hasn't been killed, but we've used it to our advantage to really promote our efforts with Mexico. It's probably still alive, but we need a Commissioner of U.S. Customs hopefully before the election before we use Mexico. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Just been kind of exploring the goods movement between Columbus, Ohio, and like Fort Kansas. Where do you see that market?
Well, first of all, I'm an Ohio State graduate, so anything we can do to build that is a benefit. I need to go back home. But I think there's a real opportunity, especially with KCS and Snyder is going right now. There's already a dialogue, a freight movement on that. I think the ISO code is gone. With the I-70 corridor project, I think it's a great way to connect that. We've had conversations with Patel about bookending that project with a lot of the freight studies we're doing here and things that are elevated around the logistics up in the end of the logistics council. So Smart Force, I got it, you know, going there. I met with the executive director, I should know his name, with the Columbus Regional Logistics Council out of the chamber. But I was just there a couple months ago, toured Rickenbacker and met with some of the industrial brokerage firms there about this kind of interaction of companies that are located there that might locate in Kansas City as well. I think it's a direct, I mean, I-70 is a great connection and you've got some rail capabilities there as well. So.
Yeah. I guess maybe specifically talk about Varian.
Yeah.
How Varian is minor trucking CSX.
You know, I don't know the specifics, but I think the relationship is as freight with Schneider moves in and out of Mexico on the KCS line. Once it gets to Kansas City, there's a little bit of rail connection, but it's now being, a lot of it's being moved on over the road. I think it's just that connection of two distinct markets that can connect to serve the Mexican market or the Northeast, and I think Schneider's the anchor, the glue that's yeah. keeping that dialogue together.
And there's a facility, Marietta rental facility just north of Columbus, about maybe an hour. And they worked a deal with Schneider Trucking and CSX, and CSX actually has a dedicated rail line to which Schneider Trucking, they stick the trucks on. They're going to make their Kansas City directly back and forth. And they're going to go west and bring west and drink that.
I reminded some of the guys at Rickenbacker that are part of Columbus that they need to remember the other involvement that's there that's still on our business at Rickenbacker. Everybody talks about Rickenbacker.
And what was interesting is that they got that operation up and running for $3 million versus Rickenbacker's, $60 million?
Yeah. And a unique foreign trade loan loan just for Rickenbacker versus some of the other things. And it's been a little bit of a,
Any other questions for Chris?
Thank you again for the opportunity.